If you love sweet, small-town Christmas romance, you're going to want to Ask Santa for A Christmas to Remember by Beverly Jenkins. Hello, Swoon Squad. Welcome to While You Were Reading, a podcast for contemporary romance readers. I'm your host, USA Today bestselling romantic comedy author, Lisa Daly. On the show today, I am joined by romance icon, Beverly Jenkins. She is the author of the brand new contemporary holiday romance, A Christmas to Remember. Now, Beverly is the recipient of the Romance Writers of America Lifetime Achievement Award, which is a huge deal, the Romantic Times Reviewer's Choice Award, and she was nominated for the NAACP Image Award in Literature. She was also featured in a documentary called Love Between the Covers. Since the publication of Night Song in 1994, she has been leading the charge for inclusive romance.
Welcome. What a cute opening.
Thank you so much. Welcome, Beverly. I am so excited to have you on today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Oh, you're so sweet. And I love that you love my opening. I love it too.
It's very nice.
Thank you so much. So I love this book, Christmas to Remember, which just came out last week. Tell me a little bit about the setup for Christmas to Remember.
Okay, it's book 11 in the series. Mm-hmm. I know that kind of scares people who want to start there. I encourage people to start with book one. But the premise to begin with, Bernadine Brown, who is our main heroine throughout the whole 11 books, purchased the town in book one. She bought it off eBay.
I love that.
They are a historic town founded by freed slaves in the 19th century, and like in all small towns of the 21st century, they don't have a whole lot of population. There's no infrastructure, any of that. Mm-hmm. Bernadine, in the first book, goes to have lunch with her husband on her birthday, and there he is with the secretary playing the two-bag beast on the desk.
Not cool.
Not cool. So rather than say, oh, woe is me, she takes him to the divorce court. Mm-hmm. He's an oil executive, and you know they have more money than God.
They do.
So she comes out of that settlement with all this money, and she uses the money to buy the town. Now, she used to be a social worker. So she buys the town and wants to bring in at-risk kids.
I love that.
To be raised by the senior citizens who are still living in our very, very failing small town. And so the 11 books are her getting the town up to speed, and we learn all about the kids, and we learn about their foster parents, and we've got love going through it, and we've got a 600-pound hog who is a menace.
So I love the hog.
Well, you know, the hog is, he was just a throwaway thought in the first book, and he wound up being, you know, quite the character.
So
all of this goes into our 11th book, as we celebrate Christmas. So I hope people will pick it up and enjoy it. Like I said, I suggest you start with book one. Mm-hmm. So that you'll know the backstory.
Right.
Some of it will break your heart because these are at-risk kids. Some of it will make you fall off the bed laughing. Mm-hmm. So we've got second chance at love. We've got elder love. We've got young adult love. We've got teenage love. Because, you know, I'm a romance writer, so regardless.
We got to have all the love.
Write, all the love is there. And it's been a ball to write.
I love this story. Now, so I will say, I have not read the previous 10 books in the series. This is the Blessing series. But I will definitely be going back and reading the first 10 books. But I will say, I did not feel like I needed to have read the first 10 books in the series.
Okay, good.
I mean,
good.
I want to, but I really enjoyed the book. And I thought you did such a nice job with sort of bringing in kind of the relevant parts of the backstories so that readers could follow along with the story, whether they had read the entire series or not.
Okay, now, good.
And that said, all the way through the book, I was thinking, oh, I got to go back and start from the beginning. I got to go back.
So I'll pat myself on the back then for doing a decent job of bringing you up to speed.
It's hard when you do that many book, like, you know, when you're on book 11 in a series, it can be really challenging, you know, to make sure that you sort of get that balance between letting brand new readers to the series know, you know, sort of context that they might need to know to understand what's happening in the book without doing like a complete recap, you know, which can sometimes frustrate readers who are already, you know, elbow deep in this world.
Okay.
I totally loved this little town of Henry Adams, Kansas. And I like the history of it. I love that that she bought the town on eBay. I think that's just hilarious. Is there anything you can't buy on eBay? That's awesome. Was Henry Adams based on a real town or several real towns?
It was based on a real town, which is called Nicodemus, which was founded in 1880, somewhere around in there. But it grew out of a thing that we very, you know, I'm all about entertainment mm-hmm. and education. It grew out of a movement called the Great Exodus of 1870, mm-hmm. when it was the first mass migration of African Americans out of the South after Reconstruction. And they founded these little towns, not to be confused with the migration of 1900 when people went to Chicago and Detroit. Mm-hmm. These folks went west. And they founded these little towns in Iowa and Nebraska and Kansas, and then even farther west in Colorado and California. And there were a few in Graham County, Kansas, mm-hmm. Nicodemus being the most famous one. It's now on the National Register of Historic Places. And I like to put my stories where African Americans actually walked. Mm-hmm. So the people are like, did you make this up? No, I didn't have to make it up. You know, it actually existed. And it was a very thriving place until probably World War II. You know, once you take folks off the farm, they don't want to go back. So so now there's like maybe two structures left, but have an annual reunion every year. And people come back from all over the country. I've been invited a couple times, but, you know, I have yet to go. But it's a very, very historic place. And I wanted to preserve that history. Mm-hmm. Henry Adams was an actual person.
I did know that.
Okay, yeah. He's
but
one
tell, of, us, know, tell our listeners a little bit about.
There's two Henry Adams. There's a white Henry Adams and a black Henry Adams. And people go and they look and they go, this is a white guy. And I go, no, it's the wrong one.
We got the wrong Henry Adams. I think I know the white guy.
Yeah, okay.
All right, tell me about the not white guy.
Okay. He was part of the Exodus. And he was a member of the United States Colored Troops. Mm-hmm. Born in Louisiana, a slave, and he wanted to know after the war just how free Black people would be in the South. Mm-hmm. So he sets out, right, and he's walking, and he said he was accosted by a brand of brigands who told him he was no more free now than he was before. So he started this network of Civil War, Black Civil War soldiers all over the South, and they started writing down how things were for the people in their area. So he wound up testifying before Congress with all the notes that he'd gotten, because the Congress didn't think that Black people were smart enough to say, oh, they're killing us, we're going to leave the South. It said, somebody must be behind this. Mm-hmm. And so Henry Adams just came to Congress and testified and was part of the Exodus. So I named the town after him, to keep his name alive, and to keep his history alive. So that's it in a, you know, a small thumbnail sketch of who Henry Adams is and the town and all of that.
I love that. I love this edutainment. I love that word, because I think that's one of the things that's so great about many authors who write historical romance, you in particular, where you're really trying to, I mean, a lot of times people don't know about the history until they read it for the first time in a novel. And a lot of fiction readers are not necessarily someone who would go to the bookstore and pick up a history book, but they sure like that, you know, to learn something new when they're reading. I think that's so wonderful.
I was going to say, I also believe that the more we know about each other, the better off we all are. So
isn't that the truth?
You know, yeah. So it's a good way to teach history, and no test on Friday.
No test on Friday. Well, I might give a test. So every week I do a TBR pile of all the books that we talk about on the podcast. Is there a good nonfiction book about Henry Adams we can include?
It's called The Exodusters. Exodusters by Nell Painter. And it's pretty heavy, but it gives you all of the basic stuff. There's another book called The Trouble I've Seen by Dorothy Sterling. And she talks about Henry Adams and the run-up to the Exodus and his testimony before Congress. So those are two good books.
Thank you very much. I'm going to add those to our TBR list for today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. So you write both contemporary romance and historical romance. Mm-hmm. Which one? Let's spill the tea a little bit here. Which one is your favorite to read?
To read, probably. Well, you know, since I do both, probably whichever one I'm reading at the time that I'm reading. You know, how's that for a vague answer?
Very vague.
But I like them both, and I like writing the historicals because of the history. Mm-hmm. I like writing the contemporaries because I get to blow stuff up, and I get to have car chases. And I get to do stuff in the contemporaries that, you know, you really can't do in the historicals. But I have written two young adult historicals, too. And that was kind of difficult because kids are kids. And, you know, and they mm-hmm. wanted to go off and do adult stuff. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. This is a young adult novel. No, get out of that closet. Come here. You know. So I just enjoy doing what we do. You know, I just enjoy being a romance writer. I wouldn't want to be anything else.
No.
Anything that I can write. You know, I've been promising my readers this dragon book because I'm a big fantasy reader also. You know, that's going to be romance too. You know,
of course.
You know, you're going to have those romantic elements, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. in everything. But this is such a blessed life. You know, you get to meet great people like you and all of the people that, you know, we no longer see because of RWA blowing up and all of that.
Oh,
but,
gosh.
You know, don't even have to go there.
No.
But, you know, I miss my people.
I know. I know that about RWA. Although we should mention before we go on, and we will not dive into it, but because it's a sticky pool.
Yeah.
But you are the winner of the Lifetime Achievement Award RWA, which is a huge and prestigious award. So
I still have my Rita in my office. But yeah, you know, what we write is so special, mm-hmm. and is so well loved by our readers. We're the literature of hope. We're the literature of fun.
True.
We're the literature of happy endings.
Yeah, we are.
You know, AGA all around. Mm-hmm. And romance took off during the pandemic. People suddenly discovered that, wow, you don't get cooties from reading romance. You know, it's something that gives you just that feeling of being in control. You know, you mm-hmm. know you're going to get that HEA at the end, but how is this writer going to do it? You know, we can spin it in so many different ways that I think that's the joy of the genre. Yeah, supposedly there's a formula, but everything's got a formula. I mean, have you ever seen a Western without a horse or a bad guy?
Right.
Or, you know, you ever seen a mystery without a dead body? That kind of thing. But, you know, we all spin it in different ways. And I think that's the beauty of it. And it's the hardest genre to write because you got to write about people and feelings and all of that. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, I completely agree with you. I do think it's the hardest genre to write. And I think the very thing that we get so much derision over, which is that it's all about the feelings, is in fact the thing that makes it more challenging. I'm completely, completely on board there. The other thing too is I think romance saved me in the pandemic. I was so stressed out. I hadn't read for a while, and it was Emily Henry's Beach Read. read it. I literally looked at it on my phone, and I ended up spending the entire day on my lanai reading the whole book on my phone on the Kindle, which I never do, but I was so into it right away. I could not put it down. And then, a couple hours later, it's dark outside. I'm like squinting at the last, but that was the thing that really saved me. And I think a lot of romance authors, sort of feel that responsibility that I know you do to deliver what it is that our readers need.
Yeah, our readers need, and new people need. And and a lot of my writing friends couldn't write.
That was the first time I ever abandoned a book project.
Yeah.
I just make it funny.
And we're all different, mm-hmm. So it was the only thing I could control.
Right.
So I didn't have a whole lot of problems writing, and I live a hermit life anyway. It ain't nobody here but me. The kids are gone and grown. Hubby's up in heaven playing golf, So I'm here by myself anyway. So for me, that was all I could control was my writing. Mm-hmm. And it gave me something to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't obsess over being locked down. And, I've had my groceries delivered for the last 5 years.
I know, me too.
So, it's no different for me other than not being able to see people.
Right.
So, but it affected everybody differently.
Yeah, it really did. It really did. So the last question for this segment, Shondaland, which is for the uninitiated, Shonda Rhimes production company, which has brought us so many of our favorite television shows, including Bridgerton, which I absolutely adore, Scandal, Grey's Anatomy, How to Get Away with Murder. Like, Shonda is, the queen. And she said about your writing, if you haven't yet gotten your hands on this author's work, you should do so immediately.
She's very kind. Very kind.
That is epic. I would have that on my gravestone, I think. She's just so incredibly talented and such a great, she has such a great eye for fantastic material, which is, I imagine, one of the reasons that she loves your work. So how did that, I'm dying to know, how did that quote come to be? How did that happen?
They are on Twitter.
Right.
She has a Shondaland Twitter thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they interviewed me. And that came out of that interview. She was not the one who interviewed me. So I'm not sure, if she read the interview or if she's read my books or. But when we saw the quote, my editor called him up and said, can we use that? And they said, sure.
And then they threw a party.
Right.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Bless you.
So I'm very, 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 very thankful to them for that great quote.
That's amazing. What is your favorite Shonda Rhimes show?
I don't watch a lot of TV. So I have not seen Bridgerton. I've not seen Scandal. I've seen a little bit of Grey's Anatomy. I've never seen How to Get Away with Murder.
Mm.
Now, you can ask me NFL or you can ask me, Richard Attenborough, David Attenborough, the nature series,
mm-hmm.
Or Loki, which I've yet to.
Oh, that's a good.
I have not had a chance to get into the second season yet.
I will not share with you, but I will say it was good. I love Loki. I think that is just absolutely fantastic. I will say, if you're going to start with a Shonda Rhimes show, you should start with Bridgerton. They're like 8 episodes long. There are 2 seasons already out. And they're so well done. And so it's like all of this talent that she honed for all these different series. And don't get me wrong, she does brilliant TV all around. But even though we don't usually do TV recs on the show, you definitely want to watch Bridgerton for sure.
Okay.
All right, Swoonies, it's your lucky day. As we do every week here on While You Are Reading, we are going to be giving away a copy of A Christmas to Remember. And if you want to enter to win, all you need to do is head on over to whileyouarereading.com and you can enter right there. Or if you can just click down to the bottom of the show notes and you can enter there. Good luck, everybody.
Good luck.
Good luck. All right. So every week on While You Were Reading, my favorite romance authors and I trade book recommendations. They tell me what they think I like. I say what I think they like. And everybody's TBR pile gets a lot higher.
Right.
So would you like to go first or would you like to go second?
It doesn't matter. This is your show. You pick.
All right. I'll be a nice hostess and I'll let you go first. Go ahead. Okay. What do you have for me?
I have Kate Claiborne. It's Georgie All Along is the title. Kate, to me, is one of the best romance writers out there. She is in an island all to herself. She writes such depth, but such relatable romance. She wrote Love Lettering and she wrote Signals. And I mean, she's just got not a large body of work, but a stellar body of work. I'm going to be with her in the Chicago Spring Fling.
Oh, cool.
In April, with the Chicago Romance Writers have their annual event every April. And I'm looking forward to it because I've only met her once. I met her in Denver at RWA. But she just writes just glorious stuff. Second rec is Rafe, R-A-F-E, by Rebecca Weatherspoon.
You know what is crazy? I think I just had somebody else recommend me that book. Like,
it is fabulous. Quick setup. We have a woman who's she's a cardiologist. And she got these twin baby girls. And her nanny just quits. Just out the blue quits.
That's the worst.
So she's running around trying to find a replacement. So to make a long story short, the replacement rides up on a motorcycle. He's got tats. He's got leathers. He is gorgeous and is perfect for her girls and eventually perfect for her, too.
Well, who knew that could happen? Tattoos and a motorcycle. Sign me up.
And he's a ginger.
Oh, you know what? I have one of those at home and they're quite lovely.
Yeah. Well, he's quite lovely on the cover of that book.
I'll bet he is.
So, oh, yeah. It is. Such a great story. Rebecca's just a great, great, great author. So Rafe is my second one. My third book is probably something that everybody has read.
What is that one?
It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
But you know, I've been reading Tessa for a long time before she blew up. Yeah, before she blew up. Back when I think it was Entertainment Weekly called her the Michelangelo of Dirty Talk.
I've never heard that quote, but it's so right on the money.
Oh, yeah. She wrote a lot of edgy stuff back then. Mm-hmm. And it's just as good as this new beach stuff that she's writing. So those are my three recs.
I love it. I love it. I am a big fan of Tessa Bailey. I have not read Rafe yet, but I have it on my list. So now it's moving to the top. Now you've recommended it. That's it. And I am and I'm definitely going to check out Georgie All Along too. That sounds like a really great one.
It's a good one.
All right.
What do you have for me?
I've got a couple for you. And one of them is a little bit unexpected. It's a mystery series, and I don't know if you read mystery.
Well, we can see.
All right. So two things. So the first book is The Christmas Bookshop by Jenny Colgan. She is a Scottish author. She lives in a real life castle in Edinburgh, Scotland. It's about a woman who's laid off from a department store. She's got to move in with her perfect yuppie sister. You know, her life's falling apart. Her sister's life is perfect. Right. She's got to move in with her. And she ends up taking a job at a kind of falling apart bookstore, and she sort of falls in love with the books and the readers and I think she's always in love with the books, but the books and the readers, and like all of us. And it has such a wonderful sense of place. And it so reminded me, even though completely different books, it so reminded me of your book because the town, like it's almost a character, just like Henry Adams is a character as far as the town. It really has such a great sense of place. It was just a wonderful book. And she's putting sort of this bookstore back together and I don't want to give too much of it away. There's a very interesting author who catches her attention. there's some kissing. But it's a really charming holiday romance, and it had a really strong sense of place which was what made me think that it might be a good fit for you.
Okay.
And then the other one is actually a series, and I don't know, again, it's mystery, and I never recommend mystery on this show, but it's the Bruno Johnson series. written by David Putnam.
Okay.
And Bruno is a former LA cop, now, you know, ex-cop, who became continually frustrated about these children, these abused children in Los Angeles County that were just sort of forgotten by the system. And he and his girlfriend, Marie, and throughout the course of this series, end up rescuing all these kids.
Oh, my. Okay.
And taking them to Costa Rica. And they have a sort of a, which is, right? So kind of a similarity there with your.
They
rescue these children, and, you know, and throughout the, I think there, I think he also has 11 books in the series, you know, all of the things that they need to do to protect these kids and keep them safe. And, and also they're on the run now because you can't just take 11 kids to Costa Rica and not get in trouble. No, but it's a real, it's a really great series. He was a police officer for a really long time, and you have so, and he is a super nice guy, and you just get so much of that throughout the series. So if you're not a fan of mystery or police procedurals, you probably won't like it.
Yeah.
But his writing is really fantastic. It's very, like, you just feel like you're there.
Okay.
And I love the aspect that was so similar about this, you know, doing something to rescue these kids. So.
Okay, good. I got them written down. Thank you.
All right. You're so welcome. I know you were featured in a documentary.
Right.
And right. Were you on a bus in that documentary?
Yeah. I travel. We have a travel group and we get together, well, before the pandemic, every 2 years.
Yeah.
And I did a couple with just my readers who have now turned into Sisters of My Heart. And then I've got a separate travel group. Well, yeah, we were in a bus and we were celebrating my 60th birthday on that when they were filming that. And Lori, who did the movie, called me up and said, well, can we go? I was like, are you going to pay your way? Sure, come on. So that was us traveling on my, we were in Charleston, traveling on my birthday. And you know, and there's a white gentleman and his wife when we were at the Penn Center, and he was the mayor of Milwaukee, I think. And he was like, this is the weird. And, and you know, and they were just sort of standing there while we were having this lecture. And, you know, and we all took off and I said, well, come on if you want. And they were like, oh, thank you. And I told him we were here for my birthday. He said, this is the weirdest birthday party I've ever had. That's what we do. We do weird.
Weird is good. We're making weird look good.
Yeah.
That's great. I just remember, like, I saw the film a couple of years ago, actually, but did it come out during the pandemic? I don't remember. I know it's been like within the last 5 years. I don't remember exactly how long. It was just one of those things when I realized I was going to be interviewing you that I was like, I got to ask her about the bus. Because I remember seeing it on the bus and I thought, it's so hard for a lot of authors to get people to come to signings. And here you have an entire bus load of people. I just thought that was just such a testament to how devoted your fans are.
I have a pajama party every 2 years.
Oh my God.
And the next one will be next October.
Get out.
And the biggest way to get in touch with everybody is Facebook. So I told them, okay, tickets will be on sale at whatever time it was. It was at 9 o'clock 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. By 9:20, there were no tickets left.
Get
100
out.
100 spots gone. We've got a mile long waiting list.
I was just going to say, now I'm in the sisterhood. Can I come to the pajama party? My mile-long waiting list. I have to go put my name on there. My goodness.
Yeah, we'll have to do one for just authors. That would be great.
I think. Wouldn't it? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's an idea.
I like that.
Pajama party with just the authors.
You just put me on the list for that one.
I will definitely do that. I'll have to get in touch with my event people and run that by them.
They'll I love it.
Because they're authors, too, so they'll probably think that's great.
I think it's fantastic. Beverly, you are a jewel and a treasure. I am so glad that I had a chance to talk with you today. You guys are going to absolutely love A Christmas to Remember. It is a book to remember. And you want to make sure that you pick that up. It is available in stores now. All right. Thank you so much for being here, Beverly. You're amazing.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm so honored.
Good news, Swoon Squad. If you love steamy hockey romantic comedies, you are going to be so excited to know that The Cutting Edge by yours truly, Lisa Daly, is in stores now. And it's available on Kindle Unlimited. The Cutting Edge is a laugh out loud hockey romantic comedy perfect for fans of Helena Hunting, Hannah Grace, and Pippa Grant. Logan Rivers is a star pro hockey player for the St. Pete Slashers, but he has been in a slump. He hasn't scored in 3 games. He's totally freaked out. And here comes Coco, and she has struck a deal with an assistant coach to be Logan's lucky charm. Everything's looking great. She's almost got her debt paid off. The Slashers are on a winning streak. There's only one problem. She doesn't know how to tell Logan. She's been lying to him the entire time. She's feeling pretty bad about that. If she can just keep her secret till the playoffs are over. The Cutting Edge is in stores now and free to read on Kindle Unlimited. I hope you like it. Will you be my book boyfriend? So there are a number of potential book boyfriends in A Christmas to Remember. And here on While You Were Reading, we only review books we absolutely loved. If it's on the show, it's a 5-star book. But we also give the book a boyfriend keeper rating, which is basically my totally arbitrary thought process about whether or not I would date this imaginary hero in real life if I were single, which I'm not. So I have chosen Chef Thorne because this book has a number of potential book boyfriends. Chef Thorne, I think he makes a good book boyfriend because, number one, he cooks for you. That's it. End of story. Thank you very much. I don't need any more than that. He cooks for me. Great. Number two, he's very gallant. He's just definitely an old school gentleman, and I really love that. And number three, he's rich, he loves to travel, and he is a generous gift giver. Need I say more? And this is why I'm rating Chef Thorne a 5-star book boyfriend. A Christmas to Remember is in stores now. Let's talk tropes. All right, so we've got a Christmas wedding, second chance romance, small town Christmas, found family, a little baby mama drama. This book is tropealicious. Thanks so much for listening today, Swoon Squad. Now remember, if anyone asks you when you fell in love with contemporary romance, just tell them it was while you were reading.